Right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now. Did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. This episode is brought to you by Beam, First Republic Bank, and EveryPlate. Thank you for making our show a possibility.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
Make sure.
Love is love. If you don't have to make a family by taking a traditional ride. If these ovaries could talk, they'd be talking about sex. Love is love. If you don't have to make a family by taking a traditional ride. If these ovaries could talk, they would say.
I am a lesbian.
So gay.
We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
Not for the gay reason. Just because we stick.
Jamie! Did
you hear my announcer voice there?
I know. Well, hello. We are stepping into the holiday season, Jamie.
Oh, God. I'm
dreading it a little bit.
Listen, I'm one birthday down. I got two to go. I mean,
we made it through Thanksgiving.
We did.
I mean, it's not so hard for me. I don't have any family nearby. Like, I've got wounds from the Thanksgivings of the past with my mother, but nothing current, so...
So funny. I miss Thanksgiving with my family. I don't ever get it anymore. And they're all the way, they're across the country.
There was that one Thanksgiving where my mother jammed an entire pot roast down the garbage disposal with a wooden spoon.
Why?
While we were playing hearts.
Why'd you do that?
She decided that nobody wanted to eat her pot roast, and we were all yelling out, "Mom, we're going to eat the pot roast." Oh, and she jammed the...
You didn't eat it fast enough, Robin.
Yeah, apparently. So holiday's not my favorite thing, Jamie.
I absolutely love Thanksgiving. I'm sad it's over.
Of course you do.
I know.
Well, but you know what the holiday season means, Jamie?
What's that?
It means we are almost done with season 8.
I know.
Can you believe that?
No, I can't. I can't believe it's season 8, and I can't believe we're almost done with it. I can't believe any of it.
I know.
But it was a good season.
It was. And we're almost at 150 episodes. That's going to happen at the top of season 9. We're going to do a special episodes for that.
What
I know.
What? Like, how can any of you at home even listen to all those episodes? I don't think it's possible. I don't think anybody actually has listened to them.
They do.
All.
They say they do in the emails,
but
Jamie.
I don't believe them. Come on. Really, guys? Well,
just
really?
So everybody knows. I mean, we act like people care about our schedule, but I feel like
you
it's,
act
you need
like
to
people
tell
care about our schedule. I don't even know the schedule, but go ahead.
I know you don't. Well, then I'm telling you as much as I'm telling our listeners. Our last episode of season 8 is December 13th. Then we're off for the holidays and we're back at the end of January. Yeah. So
get ready because here we come.
What? No, get ready because here we go.
We go and then leaving. We come and then we come in January.
Okay, now it's getting dirty.
Too many times I'm saying that word. I can't.
Let's. Okay.
I didn't realize I was doing it so much until the last time. That's all I'm saying. And now I just said doing it.
This got weirdly dirty. Listen, folks, this really amazing content, this LGBTQ family content, you can help us make it if you join our Patreon community. In all seriousness, I mean, we're joking around about how dumb we are, but it really does help us make the content.
It does. It does. We couldn't do this without our Patreon support. So thank you so much. And if you feel the holiday spirit gets you and you want to give something.
Holy Spirit, activate.
Holy Spirit, activate. Now people are so annoyed with us.
I know. They're like, what's happening?
If you get a hankering to support a little podcast that could, go over there and support our ovaries because it's appreciated. We need it.
Yeah, and you're going to be doing a good thing and you're going to get bonus content at the gestational carrier level, and this is huge. You get video interviews of most all of our episodes. They're uncut. I said uncut. They're dropped a day early and there's no ads in them. Just head over to patreon.com/ovariestalk to join.
Yeah, okay,
right, let's,
do that.
For God's sake.
For God's sake. You
speaking
got me
of
saying,
uncut.
Okay.
What?
All right. Okay. Our guests.
Friend
today,
of Jamie's, FOJ.
Oh my God. It's Justin and Eric. They are in the process of adopting. Mm-hmm. I did theater high school with Justin. This is like so exciting. I'm so glad we interviewed them.
And they're the sweetest couple I've ever met.
They're the nicest people in the entire world.
Nicer couples than you, nicer couples than me and my wife. Like they're amazing. They look at each other so lovingly.
But also they're just kind people. Like there's not like a mean bone in there, but I can't get Justin to gossip to save my life. And I've tried.
I could see it.
He's the sweetest.
And in all seriousness, though, they're our first couple who are attempting to adopt independently, where you kind of advertise and you put yourself out there. And in the middle of the interview, we were like, oh, we've never talked to anybody who's done that. So I feel like, Helen, roll the tape. Helen, come on, Helen.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Eric and Justin.
Oh. Hi, guys.
Oh, my God. I kind of like sang that, and I'm not a singer, and I think I did it because you're all three of you are singers and dancers.
We liked it.
You're all fancy.
Life is a musical. We liked it.
Oh, my God, you guys. This is a very, very exciting episode because Justin and I know each other from way back when we were in a theater group in high school. Yes, yes. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Justin, is there anything embarrassing that you could tell us about Jamie?
Come on now.
Oh my goodness. Jamie had all the best stuff in the show. She was Eponine in the British Review.
I wouldn't say that was the best, though. I wouldn't say that's one of the best. I'm just going to say that right there.
I think you stood out in a good way. You sang Anyone Can Whistle, which I know you hated, but like we love.
Could we start again, please? Yeah, I remember. And by the way, Justin was such an amazing musician. It wasn't in the book for the musical, but it was in the movie. And so Justin transposed it from the movie so that he and I could have a song together to sing. Remember that?
Vaguely. Yes.
You don't remember that? And you were like,
It wasn't as meaningful for
no,
him.
No, it was. It was huge. He was like,
I'm just kidding.
This is what I want to do. It's in the movie, but it's not in the book. So we're going to do it. I want to sing with you. We're going to sing together.
That sounds right.
Well, I am glad all of your Broadway roads brought us to ovaries. And we get to hear your story about trying to make a family. Are you all ready? You ready to do your elevator pitch?
I think we're ready. We've been ready for a while.
Yeah.
You were born ready.
Born ready.
All right. On your mark.
Great. Okay.
Get set. Go.
Okay, my name is Eric. I was born in the Midwest, Illinois, cornfields and farms. Two parents still together. One brother has a wife and kids. I love my family. I love the idea of a family. Always wanted to be a father. Musician in New York. Met Justin, who is going to speak now.
I'm from San Francisco. I've known Jamie for years, and Eric and I met at Broadway Bowling, and we talked about how we wanted a family, like the first date. We fell in love, and our story's been pretty magical, and we can't wait to continue it. And I think that's 30 seconds.
Oh, aren't they the cutest?
Aren't them? They are. A, Broadway Bowling. B, sitting there like so close, like touching each other, holding hands.
And they really did pass it off. You really did. You got that 15 second right there, Eric. And you were like, okay. And now Justin.
Set them up well.
You did.
Honestly, we try to share everything. Even like how we divide our food up. Like make sure that we each get the same amount of Brussels sprouts.
People eye roll a lot, but like
that's, you know what? That's Anne and I are the same, especially when it comes to the parenting. We split everything.
I thought you were going to say, especially when it comes
Brussels
to
Brussels sprouts, especially when it comes to Brussels sprouts. No.
One for you, one for me, a two for you, a two for me.
We split all parenting duties down the middle, except for like, she has to work. I do the drop-offs.
Except for laundry, right, Jane?
Oh, yeah. And the laundry, she does the laundry. I don't do that.
That's actually funny. So that is one thing that we don't split.
You see?
I actually enjoy laundry.
That's Anne.
It's therapeutic for me. It really is. Like from the whole process, from prepping it to walking over to put it in and then getting it out and changing and hanging and folding. I'm very specific.
He doesn't like the way I fold it. So
neither does Anne. She doesn't like my folding.
All right. Okay. Let's focus. Okay. You are in the process of trying to have a baby and you guys knew right from the get-go. Can you tell us about Broadway Bowling and babies?
Yeah. Let's talk about that.
So we're both professional musicians in New York. We're actually both pianists. We're both conductors and we're both music directors. So we kind of are the same person. And when we met, there was a little trepidation. Like, this is like,
can we do this?
Are we too similar? Yeah. Like, will this truly work? And it's actually, I think, one of the reasons why it works, because we do love sharing everything, as I mentioned before. And now we get to share our jobs and our careers and all the joys, highs and lows and frustrations that come with that. So we did meet at Broadway Bowling, lanes 12 and 13. I was on lane 12. He was on lane 13.
Who was watching whose butt while they bowled, or both?
Both.
Both. I wasn't even supposed to come that evening. Like, that was a last minute thing.
That's true. That's true. I had just joined the Broadway company. I just started playing rehearsals for that show. So I was just so new and proud to kind of be part of this company. And they invited me to bowling. And so I was going every Thursday pretty regularly.
Scoping out the guys.
There. Okay. I mean.
In a wholesome way.
But it worked. I found one.
Yeah. I love that you were scoping out the guys at Broadway Bowling. Not a club in that. I mean, very wholesome. Very wholesome potential dads right here. Look at you. Look at you. You're already bowling. You're ready.
We actually do. We haven't been bowling in a while since. Actually, we had our wedding in New York.
2 years to the date.
2 years to the very day we met. But the day before we got married, we took friends and family to the same bowling alley where we met on the same lane.
Same lane.
Of course you did.
So bowling is actually a big part of our life.
I'll tell you what, you better get all that bowling in you can, because as soon as your baby shows up, and they are showing up soon, there's no bowling until they're five. And then you have to take them bowling because it's winter and you need something to do. And the whole time you're going, stay on your lane. Stay on your lane. Nope, you can't go over there. Stay on your lane. Don't throw the ball. Don't throw the ball. Over here. Over here. Over here.
Or they can go bowling on date nights. How about that?
True,
about
that? True.
That could be our fun little date night.
It could be. Or you might just want to sleep. But either way, it all works. It all works out.
Just thinking about all that with kids is amazing. It takes my brain to a different place. But okay, so I digress. So we met at Broadway Bowling. And then the next day, we had planned to meet up after Justin's show at around 11 p.m. as our first date. And then what happened is we started texting throughout the day. And we found out we both had an hour free in the afternoon. So we actually went for coffee, which then became our first date. And then we still went out again that night at 11 p.m. So technically, our first two dates were on the same day. I like to say that the first three times we ever really saw each other was all really within a 24-hour period. And that's kind of how we've been since. We just love being around each other. We love spending time with each other. If we can steal a minute on the phone with each other, we will. If we can steal 15 minutes between a work or on a break in Midtown with each other, we will. So we've kind of established that foundation of just wanting to be around each other and kind of from day one. And it was on that first date, well, I guess our second date. It was on the 11 p.m. date. Which lasted till about 4 a.m. actually.
Oh my God.
But it was on that date, that night, that we talked about being dads, and adoption was always how we wanted to do it. And we thought a lot about it individually.
So tell us how each of you individually got to the adoption choice.
I knew I wanted to be a dad. Even when I was a kid, I remember thinking, I will have my own kids someday. Then when I realized years later that I was gay, I was like, okay, well, I'll have to figure out how to be a dad. Mm-hmm. And it was never, and I knew, you know, in my 20s, I knew how it was possible, but adoption was always what I had in my mind. Mm-hmm. But I also said to myself, I don't know if I can do it by myself. Mm-hmm. And I'd want to make sure I was married or had a partner who would be open to that as well. So, and we weren't even planning on talking about that on our first date. I think you asked me, you were like, yeah, do you want kids? And I immediately was like, yeah.
I like to talk about the big stuff right away.
Not with each other. Do you want kids with me now? Let's go. Let's do it.
There's a hotel right around the corner.
Yeah. except I don't know if it's going to work. I don't know. We could try.
You can give it a try.
Give it a good old try. Hey, Robin.
Yeah.
Are you sleeping all right lately?
No, never. You?
Absolutely not. Hashtag mom life. But listen, I have got just the thing for you and for me. Beam. Mm-hmm. Beam is a functional wellness brand, and they make products for sleep, calm, focus, recovery, hydration, and for a limited time only, Beam's best-selling sleep product, Dream Powder Hot Cocoa, now comes in, listen to this, delicious white chocolate peppermint. It's triple lab tested and contains the ultimate sleep-promoting ingredients. This is them. Uh-huh. Nano CBD, reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, and melatonin, and there's no added sugar or artificial sweeteners. So it's great. It's great. This is going to give you the best sleep ever.
Oh my
ever.
God, I'm so into that. I'm tired of feeling lethargic all day because of a bad night's sleep. Mm-hmm, I mean, that's why I'm in bed so early, Jamie, because I'm trying to get all the Z's I can get.
Oh, I know, and you go to bed really
early. I really do.
I feel you, but I don't go to bed early. But when I don't sleep well, I skip the gym, and no one wants to be around me when I skip the gym. I'm not nice.
You said it, not me, Jamie.
I don't know what you're trying to insinuate there. Well, listen, I drank my first cup last night, Robin, and I really did have such a wonderful sleep. I barely even noticed that my three-year-old was basically on top of me all night. I mean, this is a game changer. And I went to the gym today. You're welcome.
I'm going to drink it tonight instead of wine.
Good.
I'm on it.
Oh, well, I'll do both. Atta girl. Listen, white chocolate peppermint dream powder only lasts for a limited time, so get it while it's hot. Great news, for a limited time, if you subscribe to any Beam product, you can also take advantage of their best sale of the year for Black Friday and Cyber Monday. You'll get 40% off the first 3 months of any subscription, plus a free mug and frother, or 20% off any one-time purchase.
That bears repeating. Again, this is Beam's biggest offer of the year, and it won't last long. Head to beamorganics.com/OCT. That's B-E-A-M organics.com/OCT. You're going to get 40% off the first 3 months of any Beam subscription, plus a free mug and a frother, or 20% off one-time purchase. Subscriptions are month to month, and it can be paused or canceled at any time, folks. Go get that.
All right, get that sleep. Get that sleep. First of all, if you guys could see the video, Justin is telling his adoption journey, Eric is just lovingly bringing his arm around Justin and just, you know, lovingly holding his shoulder. It's very, you guys are just the cutest. I mean, I feel like old jaded moms, me and my wife, I mean, compared to the two of you, but that's okay. It'll come. But anyway, okay.
I'm about to take a picture. I'm about to take a picture for both our social media and so I can go back and show my wife and be like, remember when we used to do this? Like remember?
Jeez, let me fix my hair really quick.
You look fabulous. Go ahead, continue.
Still a little wet. So anyway, Justin reminded me of something that I had forgotten my mom told me. So I think I knew I was gay pretty early on before I even quite knew the words. And I remember my mom and dad always said I'd be a great father. And I always wanted to be a father. That the idea of family seemed just so lovely and wonderful. I actually always wanted a little brother. I am the younger brother of two. So I think maybe that's where it started, just wanting just a little young soul to play with. But anyway, I did always want to be a father, but I remember from a pretty early age, I guess I always told my mom, well, I think I might adopt. And I remember my mom saying after I had come out that she clocked that as maybe me sort of coming to terms with being gay and not being able to have biological kids. And I had forgotten.
Oh my God, that's so interesting.
So she told me, she said, yeah, you used to say you were interested in maybe adoption. And she's like, I'm not sure where that might've come from or why you thought that way. And we never really talked about it. But anyway, fast forward to after I'd come out, start dating in my 20s, there was actually a time when I wasn't 100% sure if I really could be a father.
Why? What do you mean?
I think because I was just finding myself and I was dating for the first time and I was experiencing a life that all of my other friends had experienced in their late teens, had been experiencing for years and years of just meeting people and feeling free for the first time. And sort of as I was starting to date and fall in love for the first time and experience, you know, life as an out gay man, a lot of my other close friends were settling down and having kids.
Mm-hmm. You're straight friends.
That, right.
You're
straight
non,
friends. Yeah. Correct. Uh-huh. And I think I saw that and they would talk about what it means and how wonderful it is, but also, you know, the challenges and limitations that come with that. And that directly balanced with all this freedom that I had found. I remember thinking,
sure.
Well, let's just see what happens. Now, suddenly I was sort of open to the idea of becoming a father, but also if I met a man who I love more than anything and was bringing me all this joy, that was an option to have, and he didn't want kids, well, I was open to exploring that too. But after a couple of years of that, and then actually moving to New York, settling into myself as a gay man, I realized, nope, I was 100% right. I absolutely want to be a father. I just need to find a partner who also wants to be a father.
And here you are.
So you just asked it right first date. You were like, having kids?
That's why I asked on the first date.
Let's get married.
Because you know what you want. And also, you know, it's a little later in life. You know, actually, I don't know. Is there a limit on what age you can adopt a child?
That's funny because we've been in seminars, webinars, and things like that. And we've read some papers where that question's been asked. The short answer is no, to be honest with you. I think that.
However, I do wonder if that, you know, maybe affects people's choices in open adoption.
Right. Correct. Like the short answer, I think legally is no. But for the birth mothers, they have a lot of say and power, as they should, on who they would like to match with, too. Mm-hmm. And they're human beings. And so, you know, they're looking at the future as well. So while age isn't legally, there's no limit. Obviously, there might be
personal preference.
Personal preference.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the word. I can understand that.
But what's really lovely is we have encountered people that have already adopted, of course, and people that are also in the waiting period like us. And the ages vary. It's beautiful from, you know, 30s, late 30s, 40s, and even into the 50s. And there's all of them have success stories.
The thing I loved about our wonderful lawyer who's been advising us throughout this whole thing, she said, be yourselves because it's going to be that thing that you don't know that a birth mother will see. And say that was the thing, whether it was, I saw a picture of you guys with pets and I'm a huge animal lover and that was it. Or something as simple as, you were wearing a Cubs baseball hat and my family grew up with the Cubs. And so that was it. So
it's almost like performing, like when you're auditioning, you can't try to be something else. You just have to be who you are. And sometimes just that little random thing about you gets you booked.
That's funny you say that. We've compared this a little bit to the audition process a lot in wonderful, beautiful, inspiring ways. And also, you know, the challenging ways as well.
Yeah.
Where you wonder if I had just done something differently or if we had posted a different picture, we'll probably get to this, but we've actually spoken to potential birth moms before and some of them ultimately haven't chosen us. And I say, if I had said a different word or if I had left that story out, you know, that's what a lot of our colleagues do, you know, in the audition process in theater as well. If I had just sang a different way or sang a different song for them, they would have gotten to see something else. And so,
or worn a different outfit.
Oh, like, oh my God.
Sometimes, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
You know, seriously. Like our lawyer was like, make sure, you know, you put this type of picture and that's cute, but you really want something with you guys at the piano.
Right.
Which at first we were like, at the piano. But then she's like, no, like you need to lead with certain things that would be appealing. It's almost like also dating, you know, like in this day of social media.
You have to try and show
yourself.
It's just like auditioning. You have to try and show your whole self in one photo or in 30 seconds in a room, 30 second conversation. You have to be able to show what's unique about you and who you are all in one. Thought about this a lot when I was going through my infertility. I felt that I was well equipped for what I was going through and the disappointment that I felt every month because of my acting background and my auditioning background. I was used to getting disappointed a lot. And so I feel like I had a high capacity for it. And I'm wondering if you guys feel the same way. Like, do you feel like you're well equipped because of your background to deal with all the pitfalls that come with hoping to get chosen by a birth mother?
We've all had our share of rejection in the business, getting your hopes up and then placing all your eggs in that basket. You know, I got really close to music directing a show a few years ago. And so much so that the people involved with the show, the producers, were like, we really want you to lead this show. And it was all signs were pointing that way. And then I got an email saying we chose somebody else. And I was thinking, hold on. I was already imagining my life doing that show.
Exactly.
And like, don't they know this? How dare they ruin my, you know? So if anything, that...
That huge letdown. We've dealt with many huge letdowns.
Yeah.
But you have to be resilient.
Yeah.
It's the beginning of parenting. You have to be resilient to be a parent too.
For sure. Yeah.
Can you tell us, because there's many different ways to adopt. You can foster to adopt. You can adopt private. You can, you know, from internationally. What path are you all going
down? To the beginning here.
We didn't know anything when we first started the process.
Really? It was Sean and Ben.
We have some colleagues. One is a music director and his husband is a drummer on Broadway. They're amazing, inspiring people. And they went through the process.
Two gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. 9 years ago, almost 10 years ago. They have an amazing son. And originally the plan was to start in the fall of 2020. But then when everything shut down in March, after we recovered from COVID,
because you worked in Broadway. So many people got COVID.
But once we recovered, we said, well, let's just start this summer to start making calls and maybe start the process.
Learning and, you know.
And so Sean and Ben, they were ones that they FaceTimed us several times, actually. They're so lovely.
They're amazing.
And we kind of followed their footsteps, to be honest with you.
We call this LGBTQ drafting. Yeah, where you follow the footsteps of the people that your friends, that what they've done before you.
Forged a path before you.
I feel like drafting, that feels like a NASCAR term, right?
It's a cycling term. When you ride behind the person in front of you so that they break the wind and then you draft.
I think it's also in racing as well. In NASCAR racing. My grandfather used to watch NASCAR all the time. It was always on at grandpa's house. And so I know what drafting is.
Grandpa Alvin,
yeah.
It just got really sporty here.
I know. I whoa, it. Whoa.
Well, we bowl, so you know.
Athletes that you are, PBA.
So Sean and Ben were so lovely. So we called them and basically they had told us about the lawyer they used who sounded lovely. So we hired her. Her name is Denise. They told us about the agency they used called Spence Chapin that they used to do their home study. So we called them and did our home study with them.
How was the home study?
Honestly, actually, we kind of enjoyed it.
I just love you too.
You have
I
to remember
really
though.
Do.
And we've heard other stories and you have to remember, and this is the huge asterisk here on this, is we didn't have anything else to do.
Yeah.
Because it was COVID times, right?
Shut down.
You're like, someone's coming over.
How exciting.
Totally.
She'll wear a mask, but we're going to have company.
A person. A real life person.
Let's make some muffins. Let's make some brownies. Let's get some flowers.
You made scones, didn't you?
Totally. It was like paperwork during the day and then take a walk and then make dinner.
Oh my God.
We had all day to fill out
and
all the paperwork.
And it was like, what paperwork are we going to fill out tonight? Is tonight going to be the address list where we have to list every address we've lived at for the last 28 years?
Yeah.
That'll be this week. Mm-hmm. Next week will be all the stuff that we have to get notarized. The week after that will be our narrative where we have to write about ourselves. Like, we didn't really schedule it out, but each day or week was something new. And we would sit down right at this table here. We'd pour coffee or tea and we would put on a record and just kind of do it. And because we had so much time, we could kind of take our time in a way. We didn't put a lot of pressure on us. We surrender. That's a great word. Hmm. And then what we would do is we would end up just being like, something would remind us of a story from our past. Hmm. You know, we have to do background checks and this and that. I'd be like, oh my gosh, Justin, did I ever tell you about the time that XYZ?
Oh my God, you two.
I told you this is the most positive couple in the whole world. No joke, you guys. We had them over for dinner. They wanted, you know, to hang out with the kids and, you know, we're reconnecting. And because I hadn't seen Justin in years. They were so wonderful, first of all, with my kids. And then I kept trying to get them to like bitch about things with me and they just don't.
They're just like, well, I see that, but I also think of it as an opportunity.
No, I swear to God. They left and I was like, wow, God, they're really good people.
But I love that though. You took paperwork and turned it into an opportunity to get even closer, telling each other stories you didn't know about each other.
That's really what it was. Actually, one of my favorites was, like I said, we had to list every address that we had lived at or had mail delivered, I think was what they wanted for 28 years.
28 years.
I mean, it's essentially a lifetime.
Yeah.
So at one point, you were on the phone with your college roommate being like, what was the number of our dorm? Like,
yeah, I called my college roommate.
And then, of course, that just brought about college stories, which was so much fun to listen to. But, yeah.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. Yeah, so I made apartment numbers up. Is that bad?
Yes, Jamie, don't say that out loud. Don't say that out
loud. It's done. It's the papers are signed. I have second parent
adoption. You made it happen. I feel like we were accurate.
I mean, I think they know that. I think they expect there might be some problems. I don't know. That's how my brain works. Because I don't remember if it was 6E or 6A. I don't know.
I don't
know. Who knows?
I think I read somewhere that it's really the 5 years, 5 years prior is the most important.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I believe that if they find something within those 5 years, then they'll keep going back.
That's interesting.
That's the way I kind of interpret some of that language, if I remember right. But they still just want to have it all in case they have to go back to 60 or 60.
Interesting. Okay, good to know. Good to know for folks at home too. Okay, so you bonded over the paperwork, which I pulled my hair out over for my second parent adoption, but that's okay. And so then, what happens? You're working with this lovely lawyer.
Yeah, she guided us through. Spence Chapin, by the way, we just love them. So we had this point person named Crystal who would answer all our questions. And it's a lot of forms, honestly. And we told some of our international friends, they're like, geez, that's like what I had to do to get a visa to work in the country or to live in the country or to become a citizen almost.
Yeah.
They compared it to that. So we're like, oh, wow, like it is a lot of paperwork.
Yeah.
So we completed all that. And, you know, I think if I could give anyone advice or give them a heads up on that process, what I remember is at some point we just had to, I'll use your word, surrender. Like there'll always be things you forgot to do or that you have to just fill out again or that you didn't realize needed to be notarized and it's a Sunday so you can't go till Tuesday or whatever. Like, so just prepare to think that you're really on top of it and then there's just always something more.
Like doing a renovation.
Mm-hmm. There's just always, there's just always more. And all of a sudden I was like, oh, but I got all that done. It was page 1 through 20 and now they say they need page 19 again. Da-da-da. And then all of a sudden I was like, okay, great. Well, we just add that to the list. And so once you kind of realize that that's the process, then you just do it. You're just like, okay, I guess I'll do that next week.
It's surrender.
Or the week after, or we'll get it done.
So just for clarity, this is a private adoption using an agency and a lawyer.
So we learned, we didn't know, again, we didn't know anything when we first started. And we knew we wanted to adopt domestically because unfortunately in the last 10 years or so, the international laws are very difficult for LGBTQ families to adopt.
For families in general.
Families in general,
Everybody.
It's gotten hard, especially for gay folks. There's only a couple of countries that even allowed. Brazil, I think, was one of them. Mm-hmm. But there are a few countries, I think, that turn a blind eye. So like one of us could go over there, adopt, bring the child back, and then the other one would legally. And we just sat down and said, that feels a little limiting.
So we chose domestic. And then with the domestic route, there are two ways. There's an independent route, and then there's the full agency route. And again, in the pandemic, not knowing if we'd have jobs to go back to, we were like, okay, let's do our friend's route, which was the independent route.
A little cheaper.
So we paid the, you know, our lawyer's fees, but we did a lot of the legwork ourselves, you know, like the advertising, moms would be calling us directly. But again, with no jobs, we could make our website and
we set up a phone line. We created a website.
Instagram, Facebook.
Squarespace, it makes it so easy. But but I mean, we're doing on YouTube, we're curating videos and photos. And we spent a lot of time doing that, which other people maybe might not have had the time. Said, I need you to create my Instagram, you to create my website, you to create my videos.
But which is what the agency would do.
Is what they would have done. But it's we had all the time. So yeah. Oh, and of course a printed book. We also still have printed books that we can send via snail mail to a mother when we match, created that on Shutterfly as well.
And the Google campaigns.
What are the Google campaigns?
Our lawyer told us about this gentleman who about 10 years ago when he adopted his children, he entered the digital age being like, why isn't this easier? Why can't we incorporate Google searches in looking to reach out to birth moms? And so it's now his full-time job. Mm-hmm. He is our Google campaign manager. So he does all the analytics, which we don't understand, you know, like state to state, of course, are different laws, or sometimes we're not even allowed to advertise in certain states. So
he turns off our Google ad in certain states and turns it on in certain states. Huh. His name's Hal, by the way, Hal Kaufman.
He's amazing.
Just amazing. So, but yeah, it's his full-time job.
So that a birth mother can go and look up, I can't raise my baby, I want to give them a good home. And your ad could possibly pop up. Is that how it works?
Sure, but he's prepared for every single phrase.
Yeah.
Gay adoption.
New York adoption.
New York adoption.
Musician adoption.
I'd like a musician to adopt my baby. Like he makes these phrases. And what's interesting is adoption doesn't just mean child adoption, though. So he actually has negative phrases that will not show our ad if someone says, I want to adopt a dog or I'd like to adopt a cat. So he literally every month goes in and he sees which phrases are performing better than others, which phrases might have slipped through that are not pertinent to our, you know, process, and he'll get rid of those. And so he just maintains the ad. We pay Google when someone clicks our ad. So it's pay-per-click. So if somebody clicks our ad based on a phrase that's very common, like costs more, that click for us costs a little bit more than if somebody wrote gay Broadway musicians looking to adopt a baby boy. Our ad might still come up, but that's such a sort of unique phrase that's very specific that click that she clicks on our ad that way, it might be a little cheaper.
I feel like we need hell for our podcast, Robin.
I think so too. Jamie, before we go any further, I have to say that If These Over Whiskey Talk is supported by First Republic Bank, with a best-in-class banking app that allows you to bank anywhere, anytime, and a dedicated personal banker when you need one-on-one service. First Republic is uniquely positioned to offer the best of both worlds.
With this combination of personal attention and convenience, it's no wonder that First Republic Bank has a client satisfaction rating 2 times the industry average. So whether you're opening a personal line of credit or planning for your retirement, you can count on First Republic to be there for you every step of the way. Visit firstrepublic.com today to learn more. That's firstrepublic.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender. I've always wanted to say that.
You got to say it. That's awesome. The thing is that I'm realizing as you're talking, we have never spoken to anyone who went domestic independent and did what you're doing. Like I remember Brian Esser, he's like a legal expert in New York City who talked about this way. And a couple other people talked about this way, but we've never actually talked to anyone who went this route.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah. And it brings up a question for me. I guess if, like, I'm pregnant and I know I want to do adoption for my baby, why wouldn't I just go to an agency? Like, it's a normal thing for me to, like, it feels like you're putting a bottle out into the ocean with your picture in it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, is there a percentage of people, like, you're saving money by doing it independently, but does that mean that your pool of people is less?
Before you answer, I feel like, before I went to an agency, I would Google this phrase. I want to give my baby up. What are my options?
See, I would think, like, I feel like there's an idea that an agency would vet it for me. Can you break that down for us?
Yeah, I mean, I totally hear you. I asked the same question of our lawyer. And she said, there are some, again, personal preference. There's some ladies who want to avoid an agency. They're so scared. They might be young. They might not even have told their own parents yet. And they want to keep it as secret as possible, or they want to try their own means. They want the control, is that the right word? They want to take more ownership of it themselves. And they feel like if they find us, and that's very common. And then sometimes you have the other situation where they're like, oh no, an agency will vet the adoptive parents and it's safer that way. So, and again, with, you know, 50 states, every situation can be so different. And so yes, it is like throwing spaghetti on a wall, but like there's hundreds of thousands of possibilities that are hopeful.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of things specifically for right now that I can speak to. One of them is that the last 2 years have actually lowered the birth rate, just given the circumstance of our country and safety and health. And that's something we didn't know. And the other thing is because of that, and because of the digital age over the last 10 years, is that scamming is really prolific. And it's such a bummer.
Yeah, that's what we heard.
The short of it is whenever there's money involved or money can be had and made and scammed, people are going to be there. And adoption is certainly that business. So the short of it is, you know, a lot of families sort of get blinded by, I'll use the word desperation. I know that has negative connotations, but we felt that too. So I feel comfortable using that word.
Like a longing.
A longing to want to be yearning. Parents. And maybe they've waited longer than they've wanted to. And so
maybe adoption is their last option for them. You know, they've tried so many other ways. So they're at, you know,
so suddenly on Facebook, because Facebook is also a place, there's a lot of groups where hopeful families can join a Facebook page, and then a mother can join Facebook and say, send me private messages and I'll choose one. Well, anyone can create a Facebook page, and anyone can steal photos from Google Image, and they can create a very real profile that feels real. And scammer might say, I'm looking at a bunch of couples right now, but if you give me $1,000, I will guarantee to work with you right now. So people fall victim to that.
They want $1,000 without any paperwork done. Right.
Correct. That's happened before.
So if you were to say, like, I absolutely, but we have to just sign these original, that's, and then they're going to go away.
Yes, we've had some, we've dealt with scammers before. And as soon as I kind of mentioned a lawyer, an amazing lawyer experienced in New York, and, you know, we might hook you up with a lawyer, I might say, we kind of know the red flags now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They'll fall silent. Yeah. And then tough. It's just a bummer to tough. See.
Yeah.
It's just another way of growing thick skin. Like, resilience, you kind of already have to have a resilience, I think, whenever you're starting a family. But this is now an added layer, the digital age. So
that working with an agency solely would, wouldn't.
Which actually kind of brings us to our next point. We have decided now to actually go back to the agency that did our home study, because they do home studies,
but
they
also
do waiting lists as well. We use them just for our home study first. Uh-huh. But we've just decided to say, hey, we'd actually now like to get on your waiting list too.
And you can do both.
Does that mean a whole nother round of paperwork?
We can do both. Can do both. You can advertise anywhere about anything you want. So we're probably going to do both. We're going to stay on Google. And then we're also going to hop on this waiting list.
Now, is that if you're talking about tiers of payments, by just getting on their waiting list, is that like all in on the agency? So you're going back to the full expensive? Or is that like a lower than if you had been with them from the whole thing?
Well, we already purchased our home study from that purchase that we were, we already,
So you paid for it.
You got to pay for it.
Of course. So the fee would be lower because we've already used, and we're also in their system. So a lot of the paperwork that we have to do is a lot less because we were ahead of the game.
That's good. But you still have more paperwork to do just to get on their roster.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it wasn't too much. We actually just sent that in yesterday. But
congrats. Good job.
Thank you. But there still is a hefty down payment just to get on that waiting list. And then there's actually a closing payment when you finalize. Sure. And when we were in the pandemic and we had lost our jobs and we weren't sure what the comeback would look like, how it would be, we just weren't quite ready for those down payments. But as we kind of come out of this and we're starting to work consistently, or we are now actually back full time, we're like, we feel good about investing in that way. And to be honest with you, it feels a little more hopeful, I think, getting on a wait list. And if I had known what I know now, because we were just so hopeful and optimistic, and I dare to say naive about the independent adoption.
We were naive, yeah.
You know,
we thought moms would be like calling us every day the second we started advertising.
Yeah. And it could have happened. It really could have.
It could have.
It still could happen. Yeah. But what we didn't realize was, I believe that, I think I read this somewhere, there are more people that want to adopt now than ever before, because there's more sort of modern families, you know, that either can't or don't want to have biological children. And there's also a lot of families that can have biological children that also want to adopt now. And there's a lot of single folks out there that are saying, I can adopt. So the adopting field is crowded, which is so beautiful that so many people want to start a family, but that does make it a little more challenging for everyone. And then add that into the birth rate that's decreased over the last couple of years. We entered at a pretty wild time. So getting on this wait list feels really wonderful, really hopeful. Spence Chapin is just, I can't speak highly enough about them.
They've been amazing.
And what they do, like a lot of agencies, they cap their waiting families. So they don't have thousands of portfolios. They try to keep it between 50 and 60. I think right now there's 52. Okay. So we might be number 53 here soon.
Do they go in a row in order?
So what, kind of. They also let the birth mother
has to pick, right? Like,
correct.
Right.
So they might get the first 10 in line and she chooses from them, or or so be it.
Or says, nope, don't want those. Give me 10 more.
Keep them coming.
Yeah. Give me the next. Yeah. They also, but she also can have specifics. She says, she might say, I want a single mom because my mom is a single mom and I loved her. So I would like to, so she'll only show me single moms, or only show me two dad families. That's all I want to see.
Yeah. Which is very common, actually. What we didn't know is that even subconsciously, a lot of women, they're not apt as much to give their child to another woman because there's like a subconscious threat, which we had no clue that was like.
Yeah, we've heard that before. It's like that they don't want to be replaced as the mother, even if they are not going to raise the child.
Subconscious.
Subconscious. And that there's so many levels and even subconscious things that we would have never thought about in this process that we've really learned to empathize with birth mothers and other families out there and our agency. And like, at first I was like, that's a lot of money to pay them. And now when they explain how they use that money, I'm like, take it.
Right.
Because this specific agency, Spence Chapin, they offer free therapy and counseling to their birth mothers for years, even after they match with the family and all this beautiful stuff. And I'm like, oh my gosh, just take my money.
And the communities years after, you know, they have children who are in their, or teenagers that were adopted 16, 17 years ago, they're still going to these family events.
Aww.
It's wonderful.
That they hold. Yeah. So we've just learned a lot. There's just so many levels. And I think that's the other thing that I wasn't quite ready for, is just being open to learning all the levels that kind of come with adoption.
Jamie, the holidays are upon us. And I'm just saying, with everything that you have to get done in these next few weeks, I think you should give yourself and your wallet a break. And you can enjoy delicious, affordable meals delivered to your door, Jamie. And they'd be ready to go in just like six simple steps.
Yes, I know who you're talking about. Every Plate, it's my favorite meal kit service. And I'm not lying. Every Plate, you guys, is 50% cheaper than a meal made from grocery store ingredients. And I hate the grocery store. And now is the perfect time to focus on saving money, because you need to put that money towards holiday gifts and creating memories, right?
And one meal from Every Plate, it's about the same price as a cup of coffee. And recipes come together in about 30 minutes. Oh my God. And I feel like a chef when I do it. They're definitely faster than a trip to the grocery store and starting a meal from scratch.
Totally, totally. Yeah, I made their farmer's market penne with lemon and Parmesan and zucchini and yellow squash last night. I loved it. It was vegetarian. It was delicious. Even the kids liked it. Took only 30 minutes.
Listen, folks, save the time that you waste shopping and be more productive. Yes. That's what I'm doing with it. I'm planning on making the sweet chili chicken with scallion rice and zesty carrots tonight. Ooh, Maxine is going to help me. She puts on her little apron. She loves it. I love it that she loves it. And it makes my life easier.
I love that for you. I really do. Mm-hmm. What I also love about Every Plate is that you can choose between 17 recipes that change every week. And you can swap proteins, veggies, and sides to your liking. So they're flexible. Love them.
This is actually a great idea for a holiday gift, Jamie. Give this to your loved ones.
You nailed it. That's so true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Smart. So get started with Every Plate for just $1.79 per meal by going to everyplate.com and entering code OCT179.
All right, you heard it here, folks. Get Every Plate for just $1.79 per meal by going to everyplate.com and entering that code OCT179.
That is up to $104 value, Robin.
Woot.
What?
When did you start? How long has the process been going on for you all?
We made our first call to, well, actually.
Oh my gosh.
Check this out. We had a Zoom date with our lawyer March 16th, 2020. Okay. And I woke up that morning to shower. And I said to Eric, I don't feel well. I feel really, I took my temperature. And sure enough, we had COVID.
Oh my God.
So we canceled that.
So we, right.
Oh my God.
We recovered from that. And I think we ended up calling her maybe a month or two later. So early summer.
June, I think, right?
Yeah. And then we called Spence Chapin about our home study late summer of 2020.
I think August, right? That August or September is when we started.
I think we were visiting Illinois at the time. We were out on. And then we completed the home study. All things formed, all, you know, it was submitted to the court and received and signed in
February,
I think.
Or March. Yeah.
I think February. We got that in the mail. And then in the next couple months, so March, April, May is when we did our website and started our joint Instagram, started a joint Facebook. And then we hired Hal to work our Google campaign, I think in May.
May 4th.
I know.
May the 4th. Star Wars Day.
Yeah. May the 4th be with you.
Yeah. So we've really only truly been in the game, because we consider advertising on Google to be the main way start that we've, it, yeah. yeah, the start of it, the main way of getting ourselves out there, you know, for like, I don't know, six months maybe. So, which is really not that long. Feels longer. It feels like we've been in this for a long time, but.
Well, you have been. You started over a year ago with everything, but you've been, to put it in an actor's term, you've been actively auditioning and putting yourself out there only for this many months.
Uh-huh. That's great.
And to put it into Ovary's Talk language, the minute that you want to have that baby, you started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, and you want that baby as soon as you make that decision, and it's out of your control. So I think that can feel longer.
As I'm sure other people have said, we're like, we'd love a child yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And have you had conversations with real people that weren't scammers that you thought might?
So I've had an email or two with people I truly believe were legit, which the way they spoke, and you can tell the Facebook page was real because it had gone back 20 years. Then also, so yeah, there was another gal on Facebook who had been vetted by a group already. There's a couple Facebook groups that I think do a good job of vetting. And I was in communication with her. We talked a little bit, but she was looking for other couples in New York City, and there's many. So she ultimately went with a different couple, but we were talking a little bit online. And then there was an actual phone call
mm-hmm. early on
with a young gal in Detroit, Michigan. Mm-hmm. But we came to find out that her child was about 2 years old already, which is a type of adoption, older child adoption, that we weren't close to, but we didn't realize the logistics of it all. And actually our home study, I think, is only for an infant. We were signed off to adopt an infant. And we found out that with an older child like that, understandably so, it's a process. We would have to travel to Detroit.
Spend a lot of time with her
and the child. Then we would take the child on trips once a week. And then eventually take the child home. But it's a month or two months process mm-hmm. of integrating an older child into our lives like that. And we didn't quite realize that. And so once we did, we had to kind of decline, but we gave her other pathways and other sources to, I think we even actually called our lawyer, and we had our lawyer said, oh, there's another couple that's interested in that.
Wow. Yeah.
But she was lovely.
And it was actually because of that conversation and how she spoke that I then compared that to the way other people sort of message us or the way they spoke.
The scams.
And I realized that's a scam. Mm-hmm.
Right.
There was no heart. There was no trepidation. This person was used, you know, some of these scammers, they use all these emojis and all this stuff. And I'm like,
yeah, you're not doing an emoji when you're talking about your child and placing them with another couple. Like, you're not. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you are, but I'm not.
Maybe you are.
I'm not.
Yeah, who knows? But I can compare it to a very real, wonderful woman that I spoke to. So I'm very glad that happened, even though obviously it didn't end up in a match, but we learned from that.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm.
Well, you're in the process and it's not easy, but you guys are like the sweetest and you're still hopeful. And I mean, I can speak for Robin when I say we know this is going to happen for you.
Oh, without a doubt. You're having a baby in no time.
Well, thank you so much.
And then you're going to be like, what did I do?
Would you tell everybody, like, if they want to learn more about you guys and about your process and about your home and maybe give you a baby? Can you tell people where they would find?
We're excited to, ideally, what we also didn't realize is that the idea of an open adoption,
we'd never heard of that before.
Oh, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But an open adoption is the idea of having the birth mother in our lives and in our child's lives for the rest of their lives. It's not just like once we adopt the child, that family just doesn't exist anymore. You know, that's part of our child's story and that's their family. And the idea of having another family, not just a child, you know?
We've really embraced that. I think when we first learned about it, it was so new and even a little scary, I think.
We're like, we don't want to co-parent with someone else, mm-hmm. but it's not that at all.
There's just so much. There's the child's identity. There's also recognizing that a woman made this hard decision and what that does to her life.
Yeah.
And we read some books and articles, and we have to take classes as well for our home study. And we've just done a complete 180, and it's so beautiful. Even like for health reasons, if you need to maybe know the child's heritage a little bit, well, if you have a connection with the mom and her parents, perhaps even the birth father and his side, that can benefit the child as well and us. It's just, it's so, so beautiful. So open adoption is really becoming the norm, which is awesome. Yeah. But also I think the idea of flexible open adoption, which means that the mom might say early on, in the very beginning, I'd like to see the child twice a year and I'd like an email once a month. And we say, that sounds awesome. We'll do that. And then after a year, it becomes harder for her. And she says, I think I just want one email a year. And I don't know if I want to visit at the moment. And we say, okay. And then it ebbs and flows. And then in 5 years, she's maybe had a family of her own. She's in a better spot. She says, I'd like to see the child again. And we say, okay. Mm-hmm. So like this sort of ebb and flow, it's like this flexible adoption. Because what I realized is that we got to be careful. We don't want to say, we want an open adoption. We need an open adoption. That could then, a mother could say, oh, I actually don't want anything. I love these guys, but I actually don't want a lot of communication. So I won't choose them.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's like we're open to open adoption.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You're surrendering and you're being open.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. a great word, actually, just for this whole process.
Really, but yeah. Surrender.
But I don't think I answered your question, though.
I think you did. You answered Jamie's question. And then you just have to tell us about you all and how people can learn more about you guys.
So we still have an active website. And I guess I should say, even though we're going to hop on a waiting list and work with this agency, Spence Chapin is specifically in New York State and New Jersey. So if we match with a woman in Arizona, per se, she won't be able to necessarily have the benefits of Spence Chapin, but there may be an agency that we can work with in Arizona. So I guess I say, even though we're on this waiting list in New York City, we're still going to do independent adoption. And we're still so excited to possibly match that way as well. We're going to do both simultaneously. So we'll stay on Google and our website will be active,
which is
what is that? ericandjustinadopt.com. And it's E-R-I-C and Justin. Adopt.com. And from there, there's
our Instagram
link, which I think is just
at Eric and Justin Adopt.
We're still there and we'd love to hear from anyone and everyone. And the cool thing is we've actually started giving advice to some other couples that are starting the adoption process, even though we haven't completed our family yet. And we probably will be in the adoption process for years because we'd like to.
Yeah.
I think you just gave advice to a whole lot of people right here, right now.
You sure did. You're helping folks. And who knows? There might be somebody listening right now who's like, I know the perfect person. You never know. I'm just throwing it out there.
I can't wait until we have you on our live stream. And it's a where are they now? And it's you two and the baby. I can't wait for.
And you're still going to be so
and they're gonna
super
be
positive and loving. And then me and Robert will be like, what's wrong with us? Why are we always complaining about our children?
Why do we suck so much? Oh, thank you guys so much for coming. And this was so wonderful.
Oh my God, this was great.
Thank you so much for having us too.
Oh, those two.
Oh my God. If only everyone in this world was as nice as Eric and Justin are. I mean, the world would be a different place.
They're really so sweet.
Did you see how they kept being like, Eric, would you like to take that one? Justin, you want to answer that one? Like they were just
they
so.
Know, I know. They made sure that each of them got ample speaking time. So sweet. Cute. I absolutely love them. Well, I love them.
They're just family. I hope they have a baby and I hope it comes soon because I feel like if those two aren't parents, I don't know who in this world should be. That's it.
They deserve to be parents.
End scene.
Well, okay. We'll wrap this up real quickly. Go get our book, If These Ovaries Could Talk.
Get it as a gift. Yes.
Ooh, the things we've learned about making an LGBTQ family. It's the holidays.
Yes.
Get that for everybody you know. You can also get the audio book if you want us to read to you at night. Mm-hmm. That's available on Amazon and iTunes. And if you do get it or if you have it and you haven't done this yet, don't be afraid to review it on Amazon or Goodreads because that helps it get it out to more and more folks.
It like sure does. And what a great gift to give to someone who maybe doesn't understand the LGBTQ family making process. I mean, it's just,
just us as in general.
Yeah.
I mean,
love it.
Listen, we're out there.
We are.
And we're just living our lives. And that's what this book proves.
We are living our lives. Okay. Speaking of living our lives, our next live stream is this. See what I did? That was a pun there, Jamie. Thursday, the 2nd, 4 p.m. Eastern. And we have JR and Vanessa Ford. And they are talking about their kid's book that's about a transgender boy preparing for the first day of school. So exciting. Bring your comments, bring your questions. If you have any questions for them or for us, we can't wait to see you there. And if you miss it live, you can always catch it on our YouTube page later.
And let's also keep this conversation going. You know we are everywhere on the social. Ovaries Talk on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok.
And the TikTok.
And we are also If These Ovaries Could Talk on YouTube. And you can also support our podcast, like we said, and join our community on Patreon at patreon.com/ovariestalk. And that's where you're going to get that bonus content, which you all want.
Yes. Thank you to our sponsor, our first-time sponsor, Beam, and the true and tryhards who've been with us for a little bit, First Republic Bank and Every Plate. And just
thank
you to all of you who are already Patreons. You're helping us make the show, and we appreciate you and your holiday spirit and your love and attention and affection.
And even if you're not a Patreon member, we still thank you for listening.
We sure do. Everything you do, whether it's a rating, a review, or listening to an episode, or even just sending an email, it means so much to us. So we're so thankful you all are part of our community.
Thank you.
We're just coming out of the Thanksgiving spirit here, Jamie.
I know. It's the holidays.
Happy
holidays.
Eggnog.
All right. Okay.
What? Eggs.
I love eggnog. ovaries. Like, I love eggnog. Do you ovaries? Love?
I do too. A little ice and a little rum.
I
love it.
I think you and I are the only people in the world who like
just like
eggnog.
One or two glasses around the holiday, and I'm good. But I do.
Yeah,
love
that's
it.
You yeah. can't have too much.
No, no, no. No, it's okay,
too rich.
Out for God's
okay,
sake.
Out. Out. Get out of here.
If these ovaries could talk, they would say, "Eggs, ovaries, out."
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.